Okay, good.
I'll keep this brief. I'd like to introduce a wonderful brother in Christ and a mentor of mine, Jeff Kasaya. I've known for about 6 or 7 years now, and not only has been a great example of a man of God and what it means to follow God with all your heart. A lot of people know Jeff as Coach, and supposedly that's out of just his background as a coach and part of the state championship teams there in North Carolina with some different sports. But as somebody who's got to know him closely over the last 6 or 7 years, I can tell you that it means more to that than that to the guys in his life that he has been a coach. A coach is somebody who encourages you to push yourself to be the very best you can be. And Jeff Kasaya has been a coach in Christ for me, and somebody who's encouraged me to follow after Christ and believe that God can do more through me than what I think could happen. And that's proven true time and time again. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jeff Kasaya. Come on up. And we can give Jeff a warm Kokomo welcome.
Thank you,
Thank you,
brother.
brother.
Hey guys, it's an honor to be with you tonight, and I appreciate you coming out and being with us. Some of you have been planning to attend for a few weeks since we began to schedule this, and some have only been here for a few minutes since they found out about this. Our friends from the community, we did a prayer walk this afternoon, just asking God, could he take us to meet people that maybe this afternoon could appreciate prayer? But also potentially, who might make a last-minute decision. A lot of guys like to make last-minute decisions when they come and participate. But man, it's fantastic just to see you guys tonight. And obviously, Pastor Rob's made an investment previously, which led to that. So that's fruit that remains, my brother. So we're happy to see you participate like that tonight. Appreciate you guys leading us in worship. And that was an encouragement to us to be able to sing the praises of the Lord. And we look forward to singing again later on this evening. James is my good friend, and it's been an honor to be his life coach, ministry coach, and to follow his story to be involved now in this church plant. And so we're excited. Normally the MVP group meets on Wednesday nights while they're here. And I was going to be up in the Midwest. I'm headed to Ohio tomorrow afternoon after the Lord finishes us with some ministry opportunities here. And I'll join my family, my daughter, who's 36, my son-in-law, and then most importantly, my 8-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Madison, and I'm the mayor of Madisonville. That's one of my most favorite titles these days. And so I enjoy spending time in Madisonville, USA. And so we're going to be over there at the Eldor Speedway. I enjoy sprint car racing, and they're in town for the $50,000 to win show. And over the next couple of days, we're going to be hanging out at the racetrack and also seeing who God might direct us to, like this pew full of guys back here. I believe that every day has the potential for divine encounters where we are intersected by God. And my divine encounter tonight in worship, I know some people prefer to use the hymnal from yesteryear or books or something you can hold in your hands. The reason I like the phrases up there, the lyrics, because something will jump off the screen into the depths of your soul. And tonight was the word faultless in the very first song, Solid Rock. Because when I was a young boy, about younger than you fellas, but I came on up to your level of being there. You guys, what, 12, 13, 14 probably? Okay, so I continued on at that particular age, but I started at about 8. For about a 5-year period, 8 to 13, I was a caddy for my grandfather when he played golf in the summertime. He tried to teach me the game, but I never could pick it up. Lee Trevino would say I could cure any slice, but Lee Trevino never played golf with me. So my grandfather, he could shoot his own age and score, and he was in the 70s. But he played with a golf ball called Faultless. And there's a hymn of the faith that says, faultless to stand before the throne, which is the hymn, Solid Rock, which the modern contemporary version brings that lyric into that. So it took me back to the golf course, seeing these guys this afternoon, and positioning that faultless, he'd want to have a brand new ball when he arrived on the green. Because you got all the, various things from the course that will be carried on, especially he'd like to play early in the morning in the summertime to beat the heat. And so you'd get the dew droppings and a few other things, you know, some grass that had just been mown. And so he wanted a crystal clean, you know, golf ball to putt with. So it was my job to pull that brand new Faultless out and place it on the course where he had marked his golf ball. And so we're going to be faultless to stand before the throne of God. Pastor James tells me, and I concur with his discernment, that there's some hurting men here tonight. There's some hurting men at Here's Hope Church. I've heard some of your stories just in my few hours of being around you. And man, some of you guys, just some of your stories are worth a lifetime that I've encountered with other people. Amazing to see what some of you have faced emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. And but just to know that, you know, we're going to be able to stand faultless before the throne, not in our merit or our making, but because of God's amazing grace. Now, most of the groups that I speak to around the country, I speak to groups of 25, which is about what we have here tonight. I've spoken to groups of 2,500 this year in Hartford, Connecticut, one of the larger men's conferences. Man, it was something to be with those guys. But listen, that was a small gathering compared to the very first conference that I ever went to. And interestingly enough, I like to walk around in the back when guys are worshiping to kind of get a gauge on the Holy Spirit's presence and what's connecting with men. I walk back to the sound booth back there because my father, who was a pastor for 35 years, he had a radio broadcast. And he had a rack just like that one mounted on the wall back there that he held his cassette tapes with as he would load songs into the song list. It's not the playlist of your era. It was the song list of our era. And I found that old Promise Keepers cassette tape raised the standard. You ever seen a cassette tape in your life? Do you know what that is? Okay, good. Hey, I can show you an 8-track, buddy. We'll still go way back. We're old school, okay? And Pastor Larry back here, we'll pull out some old reel-to-reel stuff, brother, right? Because my dad first started pastoring, he had the old reel-to-reel tapes. And that was high-tech back in those days. But that was a group of 50,000 men in St. Petersburg, Florida in 1995. Wow. I thought I'd died, gone to heaven to hear 50,000 men sing his praises. And so it's great when men get together. I'm a student of the Old Testament, and when the trumpet was blown, he said, you remember the marching band? There's trumpets in that band. When the trumpet was blown in the Old Testament, it was for two reasons, to call men to worship or to call men to war. And when they were called to war, the worshipers always preceded the warriors. So let's see men fully engaged. I was in Roanoke, Virginia a couple weeks ago with about 400 men. And I asked the worship leader, I said, hey, what's typically happening? Because as I travel the country, I don't see guys engaging. Hey, that song tonight was one of my favorite tunes. I don't know if he told you that or God told you that. Set my soul on fire. I awaken every day to see God draw men to the fire. That is on God's watch to do that. Hey, we showed up today and invited you guys, but that was God that touched your heart and brought you here tonight. You got your flame rekindled from an investment that was made there, but that was a move of God for us to be able to do that. Why didn't it pour down rain today like it did in Indianapolis yesterday, but this time of the day? We couldn't have had that prayer walk. He knew you guys were out there. And so it's exciting. So, but let's see guys engage. The worship leader in Roanoke talked about that men are not as engaged as they used to be. And so when we sing about setting our souls on fire, lift your voices. And I was telling those guys, I'm a Clemson Tiger fan, being from the Southeast, and we love our college football. Now, we like college basketball. Of course, you Hoosiers up here in the Big Ten, you're known for your basketball. But we like racing and hoops. That's kind of the two things we've had in common over the years. In this neighboring state of Ohio, we kind of fight over the Bright Brothers about who has the most notoriety at their bicycle shop in Dayton. So Ohio claims those guys. But they came to our sand hills at Kitty Hawk and flew the first powered airplane. So we kind of claim those guys, first in flight. But when we think about commonalities and what people are looking for, that's something we're striving to see take place. But I would just encourage you guys to engage fully in worship and sing heartily to the Lord. When those 80,000 fans in Clemson, South Carolina watch the Tigers run down the hill, hey man, there's nobody talking about, well, I really can't carry a tune in a bucket, so I'll just sit back and listen to the worshipers. Not on your life. People lift their voices and they sing that famous fight song. That's one reason I like college football better than professional football. You still got the old college marching bands. And that's a tradition that we enjoy. So, hey, if we can still go give it our full gusto on Saturdays, let's make sure that God gets our best when we gather for public worship. And that's crucial. But thank you for leading us tonight. That was worth the drive here just to listen to a few of those tunes. And I appreciate you guys participating. Pastor James has asked me to speak on probably one of the more popular topics that I'm asked to speak on these days. I try to yield to the audience for the day. And I was sitting back there thinking, you know, Lord, should I go in a different direction tonight because of some of you that I've met and the things that I've heard today? But we'll try to make some applications as we march through the passage. But again, I want to set up this understanding as we march through this. Most of the guys that I minister to in these 42 states I've traveled and 7 foreign countries have an understanding of God's amazing grace. They have experienced it for themselves. I may not be yet a fully devoted follower of Christ. That's where people like us are called to come in and champion the faith and challenge men to have their hearts set on fire. But I want to make sure, first of all, tonight, for anybody that's kind of here to kick the tires, raise the hood, and you're trying to check out this God thing, man, you're in the right place. Because I love the moniker of this philosophy of ministry. I believe it as well. All the men that ever came to our gatherings, you could belong before you believed. And then eventually we want to become the man that God has always designed for us to be. But I just want you to know my heart goes out to a number of you that have heard your stories, and I've heard you share some things to me that revealed to me. I went back to your office, and I picked up an article that I wrote for this magazine, a quarterly journal produced by a man of the mirror called Helping Hurting Men. So he's got enough copies in his office. Maybe some of you have received this copy, but I've actually written an article on how to bear each other's burdens. So, you know, I almost want to talk about that topic tonight, but we're going to stick to the topic at hand, and I'm just going to offer you this periodical, okay? So if you're a hurting man, you've gone through some tough times. We got guys in here battling cancer. We got guys that lost their jobs. We got guys that have lost some hope. Well, you're at the right place. Here's hope tonight. But I want to pass along that article to you as well. And then for you young guys back there, my son and I did some mission trips together. And there's also an article about how to change your world. So I want to give each of you three guys a gift copy, you four guys, of this article. You can look at some pictures and things. And he went with me to help out Katrina victims in the post-Katrina efforts. And he also went to India and spent 2 months serving God. It's a young man. And so he just turned 30 last week, but I saw these articles in your office today, and it took me back to when we wrote these. And so for you hurting guys and for you young guys, I want to pass those out to you along the way. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes if you want to follow along. And I actually, because I speak a lot of times to guys that are like I said, raising the hood and kind of kicking the tires, I typically put passages of Scripture on the handout. If you don't have one of these handouts, would you raise your hand so we can all use these and follow along? Does everybody have a handout now? Then what I'd like for you to do is, I like to not only hear guys engage in worship, but I like to hear guys read the Scripture in unison. There'll be several passages of Scripture tonight that are outlined here on your handout. And I'd invite you, you're under no obligation, especially if you're a guest tonight. We don't want to make you uncomfortable. We want to invite you to participate with us and read some of these passages. And then I'm going to need a couple volunteers to read some passages for me. Who'll take Ephesians 2:8? Who has a copy of the Scriptures? You'll take Ephesians 2:8. Raise your hand tonight. So when I call on you later on, you'll read that for us. Anybody claim Ephesians 2:8? Okay, Pastor James, good. Ephesians 6:10. I need somebody to read that passage for me. It's not on the handout, something you need to look up separately. Who'll take Ephesians 6:10? Okay, our worship leader is going to take that one. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:11? Pastor Larry, can you handle that one? Okay, he's got 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And then finally, 2 Timothy 2:2. Pastor Rob, I'm sorry, you got your hand up. You'll take that for us, brother. What is your name again? Okay, Ralph, if you'll take 2 Timothy 2:2, then we'll have those passages read separately from those of you from the audience. I was a high school coach for 6 years, and it was a privilege to be a part of 4 state championship teams in 3 different sports. I had some good athletes, but the things that took place when we won state championships in soccer, basketball, and baseball were when individuals understood the importance of becoming a team. In the military, they want to take the individualism away and train you to become a fighting unit. in athletics. We want to take the individualism away and to see a squad become a team. You see, a squad is a collection of individuals, but a team is one unifying force. And I would assume, I'm a would-be drummer, by the way. Used to be a would-be trumpeter growing up because all my buddies played those, what were those, the name brand of those trumpets started with a K, not cone, but something like that. Yeah, there you go. There you go. And those guys would bring those cases in with that little name brand on. You know, I thought, man, that was cool, man. If you played the trumpet, that was cool, you know. I thought, man, three little things, you kind of figure that out, you know. So I was a would-be trumpeter, but now would-be drummer. But I would imagine in that marching band, same thing. If you just, you know, in tune, in step with your instrument, you know, you've got to play collectively in that particular effort. So all those scenarios show us the significant value of being a participant like that. Well, in the scriptures, the military is used often to describe what we call the battle for men's souls. Those of us that travel the country and are involved in this battle, a lot of men are asleep at the wheel. They have no clue they're in a battle. They might even serve in the military at one time. But they come back home and attend church on Sundays, kind of hit the spiritual time clock, and then Monday through Saturday belong to them. And God wants you to engage in this battle every day of the week because the evil one is going to be out there attacking you. But most guys tend to live life alone. They live very isolated. They like to be lone rangers. That's not how God wired women to experience life. They do it in community, in a group. But oftentimes men live in isolation. And so as I look back upon the 30 years we'd invested in pastoring men, and I thought, what was the significant gain for the fellows that I thought were living the closest to the Lord? That doesn't mean they were better than anybody, but they were sustaining. You see, there's God's amazing grace, there's God's transforming grace, and there's God's sustaining grace. You fellows that are hurting, that are going through seasons of life. Some of you have been a very long season as a hurting man. It's only God's sustaining grace that will take you when you feel like you're at the end of your rope. But you see, even in that scenario, God wants us to experience the Christian life in community. Biblical community is what Pastor James is espousing. We've taught and conversed about that topic and demonstrated that to him in the years that we've known each other. And so as I look back and I thought about the differentiation between the guys that really, really were walking with God, I found that these guys found a third level of their Christian life that I desire for every man to experience. Now, there's the large group environment. We attend a Sunday gathering. We attend a men's retreat, you know, and I know you have smaller churches in rural areas. And so this would still be a pretty good sized crowd in a rural congregation as far as the gathering of men. So again, what's relative in the percentages of what that takes place? But the 2,500 guys in Hartford, Connecticut, or the 50,000 men in St. Petersburg, Florida, or 25 guys gathered here in Kokomo, Indiana tonight, God's looking for one man who will follow him with a devoted heart and a desire to honor him with their life. And that's going to be so challenging for you as you walk along until you understand biblical community. So you got to go from the large group environment, and you got to find a small group. The expression, the venue for that in this particular congregation is primarily what happens on Wednesday night. It's not the only entry point to go forward in your faith, but a lot of you guys have already told me, hey, when they launched the MVP group on Wednesday night, man, you were all in. And God's been doing a great thing. He's been doing a work. And I've been hearing about that. We've been praying for that. It's exciting to be here in person to meet a number of you. But there's even another step for us to take. And so though you're experiencing some good growth in your life, that will still not sustain you. What sustains you is when you find this third level. It's what I like to call a foxhole friend. You see, there's the Lord's army in which we're enlisted by His amazing grace. There's a band of brothers in which His transforming grace begins to work and mold and shape us. And that's what happens on Wednesday night, is basically a band of brothers level engagement, encouragement for each other. But now you got to find a couple guys that you're going to do life with, especially you hurting guys. Who's your go-to guy on those days where it's really, really, really a challenging time? That's your foxhole friend. It's described in the book of Ecclesiastes, a part of the wisdom literature, as we look into the Old Testament and see those 39 books. There's a handful of books called the Wisdom Literature. You're very familiar with the Psalms, the Book of Praise, Proverbs, the Book of Wisdom. Well, that wisdom continues in Ecclesiastes. And stand with me, and let's read together from the handout so we can read in unison this one passage out of Ecclesiastes 4:12. Would you stand with me tonight? And let's read in unison. One man standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Two can stand back to back and put up resistance. Three are even better, for a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Once again, let's go from the top. Repetition is good for us as men. One man standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Two men can stand back to back and put up resistance. But three are even better, for a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Father, in the few minutes that we have together tonight, will you maximize our time? Will you communicate through your spirit? Will you probe the hearts of these men? You know, part of me wants to kind of park and not even speak tonight. I just want to pray over these guys, because I've heard a lot of wounded men today. They were described to me by their pastor, and I met a number of them at lunchtime as well as this evening. And then those who even joined us for the rally itself. So, Father, we're glad to know that you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the one that will come and put that bomb in Gilead. So I trust that we'll see praise and worship as a means of experience a spiritual healing. And then, Lord, also to go to your word and to find solace that is so important for our souls. And I pray that tonight it will give us a chance to kind of reset the compass due north. Some of those guys that have been here a long time awaiting you to be involved in their lives. As I've told hurting men before, even when God is silent, he is never absent. And your presence has been experienced here tonight through the worship. And I pray it will continue now in our time together. And all the men of God said, amen. You can be seated. Now, some men prefer isolation. Again, it's because we're typically wired that way. And so God wants us to understand the importance. Therefore, numerous times in the scriptures, we can refer to others as well. But particularly here in Ecclesiastes, it pretty much identifies what this should look like. Friendships that will bring value and meaning. And I know in my own life, and I'll share with you briefly tonight, who my foxhole friends are and how God brought them into my life. But on page 2 of the handout, just a brief overview of these four different levels that I was describing to you earlier as we were kind of launching this topic. There's that army of men. And you see, we're looking for enlistment to take place. I spend a lot of time with those guys who are what I like to call spiritually disconnected. You see, only God knows their heart. And so while they're unchurched and many of them are unsaved, God wants to do a work in their life. And the first step is to be enlisted in his army. They can't sign up or volunteer. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. They can't become faultless before the throne. That is a work of God's amazing grace. Ephesians 2:8, a familiar passage of Scripture to some of us, but to remind all of us tonight of where this all gets started. Read Ephesians 2:8, Pastor James. For it is by grace through faith that you have been delivered. You have been saved. You have been enlisted into God's army. So, we never get away from what is described in that and other passages of Scripture. And when guys come and get enlisted into God's army, they begin to discover life together. That's what happens at level 1 in the battle for men's souls. Then, you guys start coming to Wednesday night. Pastor James begins to promote the MVP group. And so some of you start showing up. And as I told those guys that were having a meal with us prior to starting this evening, what brought you here on Wednesday night and what keeps you here on Wednesday night? And many of you begin to describe to me that discussing life together has revolutionized your journey. You found that there were other guys struggling with what you were struggling with. You found that there were other guys needing to grow and mature in their faith. And as a result of that, one of the schemes of the evil one is to isolate you and to take you out, not spiritually from eternity, but to be put upon a shelf and to in turn not be able to bring God the honor and glory he deserves. But you find those band of brothers and you begin to engage in the battle and you discover life together. You also are reminded of God's abiding strength. And John, he talks about abiding in the him as the vine with the branches. And then also in Ephesians 6:10, that passage that indicates spiritual warfare. Let's hear Ephesians 6:10. So as you engage in the battle, it's not going to be in your strength or my strength. Some of you guys may feel like you're in the rope because of this season of suffering that you're in, this challenging period of life. God says, hey, I want to come and be your strength. So yes, when you're engaged in the battle, expect to take the attack of the enemy. But if I don't have somebody that I begin to discuss life with and process what's going on, it makes me very vulnerable on the battlefield. Then that brings us to level 3, which is where we're going to be parking for the next 15 minutes. And to talk about foxhole friends. If we're to be enlisted into God's army, if we're to be engaged with a smaller group of band of brothers, yes, but even beyond that, we've got to learn to do life together. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 gives us a reason for that to take place. Let's hear that passage. And Pastor Larry, you're an encouragement to be here tonight. I enjoyed hearing your story. This man's been faithfully involved in the vineyard for 4 decades, going to seminary in his mid-30s. Really, really heard hearing your story. I've already heard the backstory from Pastor James, but to meet you personally, you took the time to come and support this rally. You took the time to come and show the interest. And you young guys, the scriptures says let the older men teach the younger men. And there's a prime example right there, of a man who's paid his dues. He could have stayed home tonight, but no, he's here. And hopefully he'll learn something that will cause him to finish well. And as a result of that, it continue to encourage others and build each other up. You see, it's a battle. We've got to be encouraged. We've got to have a chance to move forward. You said you enjoyed Pastor Larry's ministry, and you've enjoyed Pastor James's ministry. And because he introduced me to you, vociferously, and we're here tonight. So, hey, thanks for coming, man, and appreciate you taking advantage of what's going on. But we need to encourage one another and build each other up as we do life together. Well, that's kind of the principle. Now, I'm a real practical guy, real simple guy, and so let's kind of break it down and show you some practical steps, what this looks like, as we think about the pursuit of a foxhole friend. That's the purpose of us having foxhole friends. I typically wear a t-shirt when I come to these rallies that says, who's in your foxhole? I was speaking at a men's conference one time, and they were intrigued by this topic. And I basically take a survey, and usually there's just a handful of guys that would say, yeah, coach, I got a foxhole friend or two. Most people can say they've gone from the large group to the small group. They've experienced that. But very few have gone on to the third level. And that's why I've seen that being significant in our spiritual journey, is you've got to determine who those foxhole friends are. Yes, Jesus is the ultimate commander-in-chief in the battle. But there's nothing like having a couple guys, as you see depicted in the artwork there. You're an artist, so you can kind of see that work right there. And have somebody's got my back. And I was in the state of Vermont a few months ago, and I was talking about this topic, and there was a couple hundred guys gathered. And I just went around the room, and I said, hey, what brings you guys to this topic? Because on that particular day, they had 8 choices to make. And this many guys chose to come to this topic. And I was kind of shocked at that number. I was expecting about 30 or 40 from the fellows in that particular conference. And I'd spoken to the entire group at the beginning of the morning. And then they had 8 different options to go to some breakout sessions. And usually you get about 1/8 of the crowd. And I had 1/4 of the crowd. And I thought, what brings these guys here? And a fellow stood up in the back row. And he says, coach, in the military, a man had my back and I had his. I cannot find that in the church world. Is that on me or is that on the church that we haven't developed significant friendships and connections. That was a very, very astute point. So who are you doing life with? Who's that guy that's crawling in your foxhole and inviting you to crawl into theirs? Another passage of Scripture comes out of the Book of Wisdom from Proverbs 17:17. And let's stand and read this passage of Scripture together as well. This is one verse, but I give it to you in a couple different translations just to give you a few different nuances. Let's read in unison. A friend shows his friendship at all times. It is for adversity that such a brother is born. A friend is loving at all times, and a brother is proven in distress. A true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. A real friend loves regardless of the situation, and men stick together to share the tough times. If you believe in guys sharing with you the tough times of life, say amen. Don't we all long and desire that? You can be seated. So, from Ecclesiastes 4 and Proverbs 17, we see these biblical concepts, these biblical principles laid out. Now, you could go into a much more exhaustive study, and if we had time, we could be able to do that. But I want you to take that home and do some independent study on some of these passages. We'll kind of give you a few principles to go along just for tonight. Let's talk about the profile of a foxhole friend. If you've been convinced by now, or maybe you've already started that pathway, hey, I'm on the lookout. Who are these guys, Coach? As I had a guy from New York ask me one time who was a part of our MVP group, hey, Coach, did I just go grab a couple guys and go to a room and figure life out? No, no, that's not how we get started. There's got to be a process that you go through. And so what is the profile? What does it look like? Well, I began to look at the three guys, the two fellows, initially, then a third fellow that served in my capacity. They're in my foxholes. And I found three unique characteristics about these men. Number one was a love that is powerful. There was continual love. 1 Corinthians 13, that passage of Scripture. What do those attributes look like in a man-friendly context? Love cares more for others than for yourself. Love puts up with anything. Love always looks out for the best. And love keeps going to the end. Have you had a fair weather friend in your life? We've all had those kind of people, you know? They don't make it to the fourth quarter. But a foxhole friend is going to have such powerful love. Hey, man, what is he going to say? Love you, dude. I miss you, guy. Proud of you. Praying for you. That's that brotherly love. Not the type of love I have for my Southern Belle from Chattanooga, Tennessee, whom we celebrated 38 years last year. And I want you to know we were married on July the 4th, 1980, and I got some good news for you. The fireworks are still going off. Now, the bad news is when you turn 60, it takes a little bit longer to light the fuse. But the fireworks still eventually go off. And so that's important. But you know, there's a different type of love that I have for the queen of my castle than I have for these guys who crawl in my foxhole and invite me to crawl into theirs. It's that brotherly love. Secondly, these guys have my back. Remember what the guy in Vermont told me? Coach, a man had my back in the military. But I can't find such a man in church. Is it on me? Or is that a problem in the church world? And I'll give you an answer that I gave to him a little bit later on. Well, it's loyalty that is proven. My Bible college roommate from Mesquite, Texas, and we gathered in 1975 in Chattanooga. Hey, that guy's been loyal since day one. I'll see him the second weekend of September. My Clemson Tigers play his son's Texas A&M Aggies. His son, Daniel, who went to the Gulf Coast with us, did some Katrina relief, went to A&M and graduated. I said, listen, my Tigers are coming out there in a few years to play, and I want to come see them in person. So I'm going to do a couple men's rallies in the Dallas area on Thursday and Friday, do a breakfast on Saturday morning, and then we're headed down to see the Tigers play and the famous Kyle Field there for Texas A&M. But you know, for over 40 years now, James Sanders from Mesquite, Texas, he's just been rock solid, okay? He's not a fair weather friend. He's not here today, gone tomorrow. You pick up the phone, boom, there he is. We don't see each other in person as often, but we're just a text away. And so it's encouraging to see that kind of loyalty. Two coaching buddies of mine that I coached with for the last nearly 40 years. I've been coached for 40, but I'm saying I've known them since that time period. Same thing. There is loyalty with those men that is unparalleled. And I find in the Scriptures, that's a crucial aspect. What did Proverbs 17:17 say? They're times of adversity, the times of distress, the times of need and the times of trouble. Each one of those translations give a different nuance on that passage. And that is demonstrating to us that is a proven loyalty. I've had guys tell me, Coach, I had me a foxhole friend. He bailed on me. Guess what? He didn't pass the loyalty factor. He didn't prove himself over time. So don't immediately anoint somebody. Hey, Joe, will you be my foxhole friend as we march on through life? That's going to happen over time as trust is built and loyalty is proven. And then thirdly, this may not be the case for some of you just kind of getting started out on this pathway, but for me, it's been nearly most of my life. For 40 of my 60 years on this earth, these three guys have been a part of my life. God sent them my way. I latched on to them. Hey, if you'd have seen me back in those days, I'd never been up for speaking like this. When I went to Bible college, I skipped speech communications as a freshman. I don't want to get up in front of my freshman class and speak. I wanted the sophomores to come the next year, people I didn't even know, so I would not be embarrassed. You see, that's how reticent I was, towards public speaking. Now, people hear me today say, man, I've been listening to this fire hydrant all day long. When are you ever piped down? I'm a passionate guy. I try to talk slowly, apologize, because I believe this stuff, okay? And like I said, well, I'm with 25 guys or 2,500 guys. You're going to get the same Machine Gun Kelly because I've seen it lived out, and it's important to me, and it's why I came here to be with you tonight. I want at least one person in this room to find a foxhole friend because there's a cliff out there that some of you are going to go over the precipice of. Unless you back it up and say, yes, I am a friend of God, another favorite tune of mine that we sing in worship, but I also need, as my son said at age 8, hey, Dad, I love Jesus, but can Jesus send me somebody with skin on? So we need somebody with skin on to share in this road of life and a lifetime of a partnership. James, Coach Brooks, Coach Zeller, there's the togetherness factor, there's the brotherhood factor, there's the trust factor. We pick up where we leave off. And then finally, in our last few minutes together before we worship some more, you understand the process. You see the purpose behind it biblically. I've convinced you now. Okay, yeah. Who wouldn't want to have some guys like that? Where do I sign up, Coach? Where do I get started? Do I just find a couple guys and get into a room and we become a three-fold cord? No, that's not how it works. There's three tests that you give to these individuals, okay? Now, what I typically tell guys is you kind of start with fellas you're hanging out with now. So typically, a Wednesday night gathering, we would start there. Some guys were starting to get to know and enjoy their company. But it's not limited to those guys. It could be other fellas. But you begin to get to know fellas in that particular kind of a setting, that smaller group, that band of brothers. Well, your foxhole friend, here are their three tests. First of all, Proverbs 27:9 talks about the pleasantness of a friend. Hey, I know some guys, listen, I want to be compassionate and I want to be able to, be grace-oriented. There's some guys, they're just jacklegs to be around, all right? They're still fun. And the pleasantness of a friend exudes to us, we have chemistry. Chemistry says these are the people that we enjoy being around, and there's mutual benefit from having iron sharpening moments. You know some guys like that? When you invest time with them, it becomes very rewarding. And they're grateful to say the same thing about you. Now, in addition to my foxhole friends, I have a host of honorable mention candidates. I've already invited myself to be here tonight. You know why? Because I see God in this man's heart and life, and I want to come encourage him. This is not typically where you invite people in to come. You're kind of getting started. That's further down the road when we got 50 or 75. But I said, James, listen, I'm going to be a couple hours away from you. I'd love to just kind of drop in on this Wednesday night and hopefully encourage you personally and be of some hope and encouragement and enlightenment to your men. So we have philosophical chemistry and are striving for the same thing. Therefore, I want to come hang around him and he with me. So, chemistry is the first test. Secondly, Proverbs 27:19 says, the kind of friends that he chooses. There's choices to be made in selecting these foxhole friends. And what I've discovered And some of you heard me ask you this question tonight in our Get Acquainted session. What are some of your what? Hobbies and interests. Discipleship is waiting to happen. Mentorship is just around the corner based upon hobbies and interests. Now, my father was not an outdoorsman. He was not a hunter. He was not a fisherman. A lot of guys I know, that's a big part of their man code. I appreciate it. I value it. I've been to Alaska. I've been to Montana, but I haven't shot anything. I haven't pulled back a bow. You know, I haven't hauled any fly fishing, you know, and I hear all these guys in the Field and Stream era, you know, I'm thinking, I've gone to these beautiful places. I like to go hiking. You know, that's about the biggest thing I do in the outdoors. And so, but you see, it wasn't introduced to me. Nothing wrong with it. Just like some of you have already told me, why would you go to Eldor Speedway and watch those cars going in circles? Man, 0.4 mile, 800 horsepower. When they say, gentlemen, start your engines tomorrow night, and my little granddaughter sitting right there in Madison, she's going to pick a car, and I'm going to pick a car, and my daughter's going to pick a car. And we're going to watch those guys run the heat races and then qualify for the B main and the A main. Hey, we're serious about this thing. This is not watching cars go around in a circle. I actually get a pit pass. I get a wrist thing, and we go down into the pits, and I go watch those guys work on these cars. And I see my favorite driver. What selection of tires is he making for the night? What kind of shock package is he there? Just like you guys choose your different, what do you call those things you put on the end of your fishing line? Lures. Yeah. You got all that. You got that little, what do you call that? The thing you carry around in? Bingo. Thank you. Hey, see? So, your tackle box, your lures. Hey, that's serious stuff to you fellas. I have no clue. I wouldn't know what to pick up if you said, hey, go to my garage and look on the second shelf of that tackle box and bring me XYZ lure. I'd be clueless in Cleveland. Just like you would at the dirt track tomorrow night. Why? Because there's not an affinity there. Okay? So, now, as you explore these friendships, common interests, and similar hobbies of natural liking. You talked about, you know, your dad gave you a mechanical gene. You like to take things apart and put them back together. You know, I applaud that. My brother got that gene from my dad. I was my dad's helper on cars primarily. But you've got a history of really, you know, excellent craftsmanship and the ingenuity, you know, to pull off some of the things. I just admire that. I just don't have that quality. So now, you know, I probably wouldn't be your foxhole friend. I can pray for you. We can spend some time together. And I really enjoyed you opening up. I was coming close all night long to ask you one question I wanted to ask you. And then after we talked about some other things that were non-threatening, you laid the card on the table that I was really coming after to begin with. So there was a purpose behind that. But as you continue to talk, you were comfortable. And in that group environment, you know, you shared with us where things were. And then the last question I asked you, was kind of the first question I want to kind of get an answer to. But I want about it going to ask that at the beginning. Why I lost you? Hey, dude, you got no right to ask me that question. You just met me. I just walked in the door. But I was inquisitive about that. And to think, okay, did it come maybe from this angle or that angle or whatever? So that's the process, you see, of earning trust, building the context, even in a short amount of time. So another guy that likes mechanical things. We got a father-son team over here. Leading worship tonight. Music, there's a special affinity group for you guys, okay? And again, whatever it may be that you enjoy. So, what I tell guys, if you like to go hiking and watch Jesus show up. You like to go fishing, go jump in a boat. The guys down in my neck of the woods, they go bass fishing primarily, you know? So, they have these bass boats, and so they go out and enjoy time on the lake, you know? Now, I'll go to the pontoon boat. And ride out there, Rob, and we'll get in the middle of the lake and drop the anchor, and we'll just pray. I think I'm on the Sea of Galilee, you know? Now, I don't mind if those guys want to fish, but they took me deep sea fishing one time. That was really wrong. I chummed the fish all day long. So, I'm not your guy to take. You know, it's just not out of my repertoire. But if there's an affinity, friendships can develop, and those guys eventually. You see, you're already going to invest the time. That's crucial. Time is the modern-day currency. And people are going to say, Coach, I can't add something to my plate. You're telling me to add something? I'm barely making it to Wednesday night. Where's our third shift guy? Is he still here? He had to go home. Here he is right here. Yeah. He's got cold there. And he's covered up there. So, you know, he's working late. You working late tonight? Hey, thanks for coming out, man. That means a lot. You were going to give us some of your sleep. You could have been home doing this. But what point was I going to make with that? I forgot. Anyway, there was something you said earlier tonight I was going to try to connect with, but it's been a long day, so I missed out on that. But the affinity group, you know, is going to come as a result of that because of the interest level. Now, if you're mechanically driven, you guys might can make a connection. But, you know, there's other factors that also play into the situation. Shared experiences provide deepening opportunities. You're going to be out there looking for that special part. Now, my brother's a machinist, so I see he and you would be all over this kind of stuff because he could come in and play a role that you might need. You can dream it up and have the ingenuity that he might go execute the game plan at the lathe, you know, because he makes a lot of parts. My boys in NASCAR, they don't go buy stuff off the shelf. They don't come up here to y'all's transmission place. They make their own, you know. And it's just kind of phenomenal to watch what takes place in that particular setting. So affinity is crucial in that regard. And then finally, Proverbs 22:11. Those that value grace and truth, you'll see transparency take place. When I see guys get into a foxhole relationship, and let's go back to Pastor James and I. So Pastor James lays a few cards on the table. And here's the three questions, by the way, I typically ask are kind of generic questions for guys that want to get into one of these connections. Number one, how are things at work? Most guys want to describe their work life. They find their identity. Guys give me business cards. That just tells me what they do. It doesn't tell me who they are. But though things are digital now, and there's not as many business cards being exchanged, most guys will tell you about their work life. That's kind of a first base question to get to. Hey, what do you do? How'd you get in a career? You enjoy your present job? What's going on in that situation? So my foxhole friends, how are things at work? Secondly, how are things at home? Marital harmony, parenting wisdom, you know, financial pressures, whatever. And demographics are changing in your neighborhood, so you might have to move and change because of some security issues. You know, you talk about how things are at home, multiple fronts. And then finally, how are things in your walk? You see, even those of us in ministry, our soul runs dry. Pastor Larry, you ever been at a place where your soul's been dry? Exactly. That's happened to all of us. And when your soul is dry, you might come and draw from Pastor James's soul. You know, I try to be intentional with these guys I've built a connection with over the last 4 or 5 years around the country. And so I'll check in occasionally. Hey, man, how's it going? You know, part of that was, is this a good time for us to come by? If all you and I do is just kind of hang out and go have some breakfast and do some of this foxhole friend stuff. He's got his own foxhole friends. I got my own foxhole friends. But from a ministry context, let's do some soul keeping. And as a result of that, we can encourage each other in this particular realm of life. So, but if Pastor James shares with me, and then he says, well, Coach, how's it going in your world? How's the soul keeping in your life? And I would say, hey, James, man, we're good to go. You know, so let's pray, and we'll head on down the road. What have I done? I have not been vulnerable. I have not been transparent. I have not been authentic. Now, even if I'm riding high, and God's been blessing me, we all ride high at times. There are days when, hey, we're right there in the valley. It's not always on the mountaintop. And that's why that foxhole friend can kind of help set your compass due north. He can remind you that God has a plan and a purpose, and there's a call upon your life. And as I would tell these guys often, what will it take to stop you? The foxhole friend takes you back to the vision that God has for you. The foxhole friend takes you back to the calling upon your life, and he affirms you. He encourages you and says, God is not through with you yet. He is longing to see what takes place. The people, and I'll get really challenging with you now, the people that tell you you're the man of nine lives, hey, that is not a correct statement. Here's the statement that is biblically accurate. A man is immortal until God is through with him. There's no such thing as a man of nine lives. The sovereign hand of God did not allow you to lose that life with that tragic accident in 2013. You know why? Because he wasn't finished with you, David. It's not David. And whether you make it to 100 or not, that's going to be in God's hands. He tells us to number our days so we can apply our hearts and wisdom. And the foxhole friend gives us that kind of input. It's not up to us. It never started with us. It won't end with us. And so they are crucial in giving us proper value of grace and truth. The Q&A section, I'll stop right here and we'll go back into our segment of worship. But I encourage you to take those home. Those are commonly asked questions of men around the country. And so the question is what they have listed. I've heard this question multiple times. That's why I placed it on the sheet. And then I give to you my answer. I will answer that first guy from Vermont because I told you I would answer that one. When the man says, why is this so difficult in the church world? And what I answer this man in Vermont is what I would share with you. Men are more engaged in the military. They're not as engaged in the church. It's not just with worship, okay? Listen, if God has really set our souls on fire, Indian Heights will walk down the neighborhood and thinking, I thought the fireworks was last week. I heard some booms going off down there. Oh, that's that building where we used to go vote. Who's in here voting tonight? They're voting by the saying, yes, God has set my soul on fire. Those of us in this room ought to be able to lift the rafters, not just because we're trying to be noise makers, but God, as my uncle used to say, takes your heart and squeezes it until the juice runs out. And sometimes it's tears of joy, but sometimes it's jubilation and celebration. And the noise meter will be like it is tomorrow night when they say, gentlemen, start your engines. The place is going to go bazonkers. 25,000 people will sound like those 50,000 men at the Promise Keeper Stadium. So God is looking for us to be fully engaged. Worship is one expression of that. The other one is to be fully engaged in other aspects of your life as well. Monday through Saturday, not just hitting that time clock, but saying, yes, I want to go forward for God. I want to be fully devoted to Him. And whatever time I have on this earth, God has provided me that opportunity. Hey, who's going to be in my foxhole to help me get to where God wants me to be? Amen? So my question, you have to take personal inventory. Who's in your foxhole? I'm not your shepherd, so I'm not going to ask you to give me that answer. But sometime between now and Sunday, I'm going to challenge you guys. You can do it with Pastor Rob because you're connected with him. If you have a foxhole friend, I want you to tell Pastor James, I have one, even tell him who you have. Now, if you have one guy, you have not gotten to the place where you need to be. I would take you back to Ecclesiastes. Remember, two are better than one. Hey, that's good. We've gotten to that level. But three, what? Or even better. So who are those couple other guys that'll crawl in your foxhole and to see you go forward for God? Lord, take this truth, seal it into these hearts, cause these men to look to you and desire to live out life in biblical community.